Welcome to this week's episode of Time Added On. Forest are back at the City Ground and some things never change. Forest back to winning ways. Plenty to get our teeth sunk into tonight, Tom. We've obviously got the Sheffield United review, a trip to Manchester coming up, although we're a bit bitter and twisted about that, and plenty to discuss from a transfer window perspective with just over a week to go. I have completely lost the plot. I'm actually really bored of the transfer window, but welcome, Tom. Good evening. How are you?
I'm all good. Yeah, you know, it's off the back of three points, and you know, plenty of signings on the way. You
should be well. Three points and potentially three amigos. Who knows? But it is like transfer window bingo. We normally get this with Forest. By this time last year, I think we probably signed about 16, 17. We're definitely not on for that number, but we could be on for a bit of a grandstand finish. But we'll talk about the transfer window a little bit later on, both ingoings, incomings and outgoings. But let's start off with Sheffield United. Friday night, under the lights at the City Ground. No better place, no better way to get going. Forest obviously needed a performance or a result, obviously off the back of an encouraging performance against Arsenal, but ultimately a defeat the week before. We talked about it, didn't we, in the run-up to the game last week in terms of no love lost between Forest and Sheffield United. And whilst their squad probably looked pretty similar on paper to the one that came to the City Ground in the playoffs, our squad resembled nothing like it. But in terms of the fans, like, as I say, Friday night under the lights, that atmosphere was electric, wasn't it? And it added a little extra that. It wasn't the same, I suppose, not that West Ham bring a pizzazz about it, but it wasn't really that Premier League game, if you like, in terms of we had last year. But this was seen as a great opportunity against a side that also thought they could probably get something from the match, wasn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I think they would have come to City Ground thinking, well, we're playing one of the teams, just like we did last year, you know, playing one of the what you would see is, if you were looking at the odds table, the betting table, if you like, you know, where Forest are, they would see it as an opportunity. So, and also, I mean, look, we spoke about last week how we feel this kind of game obviously would have an extra bit of pressure around it for Forest. And I just think the home form in general, really, probably this year might have a little bit more of a talking point around it because of, you know, how good it was last year in comparison to the away form anyway. And obviously Forest starting off with a defeat, but with a, you know, promising performance against Arsenal, it was how can they back that up? You know, every time that you maybe don't get that result away from home, it's how can you go back home and then get those points at home. So, mission accomplished, as you say, you know, they did that. And I think there were some positive things to come with it as well, albeit, you know, there's some other bits that they'll want to improve on that will come hopefully as the season comes along as well.
There was that pressure. I was talking to someone about it today in terms of, you know, I think if you look at it in terms of the two results and the two performances overall, I think Forest have had a positive start to the season. I think there's still a lot more to come from the side, and obviously the things will start to settle down once you get into September and that transfer window closes, but there are definitely positives. But one thing that we know has got to improve, as you just said there, is the away form, just to take that edge off of the home form, because every time Forest play at home, it feels like not to use the cliche, but it does feel like a bit of a cup final, that you know that Forest have to pick up points. And I think from that perspective, with the away games that Forest have got coming up that we've talked about at length last week, it definitely feels like there was a bit of pressure on this one almost, which it sounds daft, first home game of the season, but it did almost have a feel of a must win about it, which I think, just, you know, Forest will go away from home, I'm sure, this season. Forest will pick up more points on the road than they did last season, and that'll allow them to whilst they won't want to drop that home form, it allow them a little bit of freedom to maybe take that pressure off the home games, because obviously we saw it towards the back end of last season, the home form was outstanding, but they can't carry that on for another 10 months this season. So, but it definitely had that feel about it already, as you said, the betting odds, you know, Forest were, I'd look at it this morning actually, we're only two games in, the betting picture for the relegation places has changed somewhat. Forest are quite, you know, not considerably away from the bottom three, but they have moved away, obviously, because other people have seen what we've seen, obviously, over these two games. But it was a huge game, and I think that relief almost when the winner went in right at the end, it felt like a big 3 points, and it just takes that little bit of pressure off now going into the next two away games, away at United and Chelsea, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think obviously when the fixtures came out, we were looking at it going, well, your away games are obviously horrible, which we've discussed, but your home games are ones which you have to look to pick up points. So, you know, the two games that they've had so far, they've accomplished probably what most people were hoping. Obviously, you're always hoping to try and win as many games as you can and win all the games and pick up points and even surprise results away from home. I mean, I certainly wouldn't rule that out potentially over the next couple of away games. But we knew that they were difficult games on paper, and therefore the Sheffield United one would have that added bit of pressure to it, as you said. So, look, yeah, I mean, when that last-minute winner came in, it felt huge. I mean, I was at a wedding, unfortunately, on Friday, but when it was 1-1, all I was getting was, you lot are in trouble, you lot are going to go down. And then when the 89th minute or whatever it was, last kind of embers
of the
game.
Come on, how many beers did you had by this point? Couldn't even see your phone.
It's fair to say it was basically going around the wedding party being like, we won. We got last minute winner.
Chrissy Wood.
Yeah, so look, it felt huge, regardless of how it's come about. I'm sort of sure, you know, some people might go, oh, you want to be trying to win those games by more. But, you know, again, like I think a few people have pointed out, if you look at last season, we struggled in some of those early games where we were hoping to pick up points. You know, the obvious two to point out is Bournemouth, and regardless of how Fulham did overall in the season, Fulham as well. So, you know, it's a good win to have. It's good to get those points on the board and, something to build on as well going forward as well.
I think what Forest have got to realise this year is that teams will come to the City Ground, and it's not a secret. Sheffield United know all about the City Ground. It's not a secret to them, but teams throughout the league know what the City Ground's about. They know what the atmosphere is about. They know Forest's game plan now down to a T and how Steve Cooper will set this side up. But we know that Steve Cooper's trying to evolve that, so they play slightly differently this year, probably a little bit more on the front foot. But I think given the hype around Forest home performance last year, given, you know, some of the performance levels we saw at the City Ground, and, you know, the reactions from other fans and certainly the media in terms of the City Ground, it ramps up that expectation this year. And I think we talked about that in our season preview in terms of Forest will be good at home again this season, absolutely no doubt about it. It is a fortress, but I think we've just got to temper those expectations slightly in the fact that they're not going to be able to come out and steamroll teams as easy as possible. I saw people talking on Wednesday last week, talking about this is a barometer of how far we've come as a Premier League team. We should smash Sheffield United off the park. I think we've got to respect every team in the Premier League, whether it's Sheffield United or Man United or whoever. They are a Premier League team, and you know, you're not going to blow teams away in this league at the moment. I think Forest is still a work in progress as well. Maybe if this game's played in another couple of months' time, then who knows how the outcome and the scoreline might have played out differently. But I think there's got to be a realisation of where Forest are at the moment, and I think there's just got to be a realisation in terms of, you know, teams are going to have worked out the City Ground a little bit this year, so it's not going to come as easy. Or, you know, I'm not saying wins last year did come easy at all, actually, but it's going to just add an extra dimension, isn't it?
And also Sheffield United, you know, will probably, out of a lot of the teams in the Premier League, will know the City Ground more than most in terms of the players that they've got. You know, a lot of them have played for us. So, I mean, a lot of those players, regardless of whether they played for us or not, will know the City Ground more than many of the other Premier League players that have signed from clubs abroad and maybe don't know too much about the City Ground or the club itself or whatever it might be. So that Sheffield United have a knack of making things difficult. I think, you know, a lot of people would have looked at how they performed against Palace at Bramall Lane in the game before and maybe gone, oh yeah, actually they're there for the taking. But not every game's going to be like that. And I think I mentioned last week, I actually think playing away from home might favour them a little bit more. And obviously they're starting to sign a couple of players. And I just think because there'll be no pressure on them to kind of have to go forth and you know, try and attack teams constantly, they'll probably do what most most promoted teams need to do in the main, to be quite honest, which is soak up that pressure and then do whatever you can when you've got those moments. I mean, their goal that they scored was just an excellent finish. But they also did have another couple of opportunities, and I think that just comes from them just trying to make life slightly more difficult for Forest and them playing that typical away team kind of performance in the Premier League.
You thought, I mean, let's talk about the start that Forest had. Brilliant, 3 minutes in, lovely ball in from Serge Aurier, great header from a one who gets himself right in the thick of that 6-yard box. He's had a knack at the moment, doesn't he, of getting himself into the right place at the right time, but a lovely header finish, goalkeeper, no chance. I mean, Tyro, what's that, 8 in 6 consecutive Premier League games now? I don't want to big him up too much because... you know, there's still a week left of the transfer window, and you know, you only have to look through Twitter and you can see fans from other teams, bigger teams in the league than Forest towards that top end of the Premier League, are starting to talk about Tyro Awoniyi now. But you know, I talked on here last week, we talked on Twitter, didn't we, in terms of if Tyro can stay fit, he can get between 10 to 15. But I mean, how good can he be for Forest this season? Because we've seen it now in 2 games. He's really made the difference, hasn't he? And he could have had another one, brilliant interception or brilliant, defending, if you like, from Sheffield United to get a toe on the ball, as it looks like a clear tap in for Tyro. But he's going to be a real handful this year for Premier League defenders, isn't he?
Yeah, it's just a bit of a nightmare for defenders because, like I said before, you know, he's got into a knack of playing the way that Steve Cooper wants him to play, which I think was a little bit of the criticism when he first joined last year, but. I mean, the whole team was getting used to each other at the start of last season. So, but Tyro was, you know, probably, again, I mentioned it in last week's pod, but he was kind of like, a lot of people comparing him to what happened when Keenan Davies came through the door and what Lewis Grabban would do and things like that. And he was getting used to the way that we were playing. But what you see now is that he has got used to it. He's, you know, running, making those runs that we would want, whether that be through the middle or even at times knowing when to go one way or another. And Morgan Gibbs-White might be slightly in front or Johnson might be playing off or whatever it might be. But because of his, you know, his physicality as well and how good he is in that respect, he's a nightmare in other ways. So he's got a lot to his game now. I think actually he's more than what he was just when he first joined Forest. I watched I didn't know a lot of him in terms of what he was like at Union Berlin, but he, you know, a lot of the clips that I saw was a bit of a poacher, I would say, from the goals that I saw anyway. A lot of people might disagree with that, but I just think there's so much more to his game now as well. I think I can see why other fans would be, you know, saying his name and speaking about him, because I think that he is becoming more and more confident as well. I think that was the thing last year. He was maybe lacking in that confidence. I know that he wanted to make himself into a name in the Premier League. Obviously, he was a youth player at Liverpool. So I think he had that added pressure on him to try and make sure he did step up when he joined Forest. And I think he's doing it. So, I mean, he'll be so important. I mean, having an on-form striker, on-song striker is so important. I think the key for him this season will be staying fitter for longer than he did last year, which isn't a criticism of him or saying that he's injury prone in any way, shape or form. It's just, if he can stay fitter for longer than he did, if he can stay fitter this year, longer than he did last year, I think he's bound to score more goals. And that's only good for Forest, you know.
His all-round game looks a lot more polished than when he first came to the club last summer. I think he's definitely got more to his game than just poaching. I do agree in terms of the goals that he picked up last season. You look at his first few goals for Forest, they were kind of poacher's goals, him being in the right area in the West Ham one, prime example, just hit him, but he was in the right area. But I think now there's a lot more to his game. I think Steve Cooper probably takes a lot of credit for that as well, you know, the hard work that Tyro Awoniyi's put in. But I think Steve Cooper, I think you've seen that with a number of players in this Forest squad over the last year, he's worked with them and moulded them into his star and his team. But I think Steve Cooper's coaching probably, you know, takes a lot of credit for that as well.
Yeah, and I'd be intrigued to know how many of his goals that he scored last year were headed goals, because I don't remember too many headed goals from Forest last year. Maybe I'm going mental. The one thing that frustrated me last year was that I felt like, as a newly promoted club, we weren't good enough at that. Like, we weren't good enough at set pieces, albeit, you know, some people might say some of the deliveries from, like, Morgan Gibbs-White was good, and I'm not saying it wasn't. I didn't feel like we took advantage of set pieces enough for a newly promoted side, because I think that would be an expectation. You know, that's kind of the easy way of you to get goals rather than trying to go through teams. And I just don't remember too many. I know the two goals from Friday night weren't set pieces, but there was obviously quite a clear tactic of, you know, playing that ball in from that area of the pitch and curling it in and getting the header onto the ball. I mean, the two headers, slightly different, but both fantastic finishes in their own right. Second one, probably just slightly tops it for me, but I love the physicality of the first one from Taiwo. I mean, I just don't remember too many headed goals from Forest last season.
No, I don't. I have to agree, mate. I have to agree. I think the only one that I can really stand out is Taiwo's away at Chelsea, which is a bit of a scramble for the first one, which is, you know, goalkeeper caught in no man's land. You're right. Forest set piece play last year wasn't strong enough for a newly promoted side. I think we started to find our way towards the end of the season when Nia Carty came in, but it was more of the long throw, and that did cause havoc, didn't it? Well, you think of the performance away at Liverpool where our two goals came from that, but it wasn't, as you said, it wasn't from balls being put in the box and headers. It was just about a scrap. They were scrambled goals.
And I think for a team with the players that you've got, like Gibbs-White, like Johnson, like whoever it might be, we have some good ball players in the team, but we didn't have a lot of good balls going into the box being attacked, from what I can remember from last season. You know, Nico Williams, for me, I probably criticise him a little bit from time to time, but I actually think one of his best traits is his forward play and his delivery into the box. You know, Aurier showed that in abundance on Friday night. I mean, I just don't think we've done that too much before. So I found that very interesting. You know, if that's something that they've worked very hard on in pre-season, then I think that's going to be something that pays off massively for Forest if they can do that and still do some of the through the middle kind of trying to slip through teams, counter attack teams kind of stuff. That's a good few ways of getting goals.
I definitely think it's a change in style, and I think Steve Cooper talks about a change in style. That doesn't necessarily have to be so different in terms of all of a sudden it's going to be prime Barcelona under Guardiola, where it's tippy tappy knocking it around. But I think, to your point, I think last year the problem was they reverted to a back four, and the fullbacks in that back four didn't really get forward that much. Lodi and Aurier still did get forward, but not to the same extent as you can if you play wing backs ultimately that can either act as a back five or move forward with the midfield. So I think that is interesting. They definitely have worked, like as Steve Cooper talks about, they've worked on crossing into the box. And I think if they can mix that up with that intricate play with your Gibbs-Whites, Johnsons, etc. on the ball, and they can try and utilise the set piece a little bit more, then Forest will be a little bit more of a rounded Premier League team. I think on the game Friday, look, when that goal went in, I think we were all sat there thinking, right, come on now, let's turn the tap. Let's get a second one quickly and let's not put the game to bed, but let's make it a little bit more comfortable, because you could see Sheffield United were rocking in that first 10, 15 minutes. And you could see if Forest went through the gears and got another one, you could see Forest get into half time, maybe 2 or 3 in front, and that would be game over. I think Forest played really well for 30 minutes, and then sloppiness really kind of came into it. Maybe whether that's complacency or what, I'm not sure. Subs made a big difference in this one again. We saw the impact that the subs made off the bench away at Arsenal to get Forest back into the game. It felt like at that time when Forest were, you know, 1-1 in this one, and they just needed to kind of be able to get their foot on the ball or break play up and start to impose themselves again on Sheffield United. The role that Ryan Yates had, the impact that Alanga had on Friday night again, was really positive, wasn't it? I thought Yates was brilliant when he came on. Really mixed it up. And obviously Chris Wood getting the goal as well. So it shows in reality a couple of things that really stood out to me versus what Sheffield United had to offer on Friday was quality of the bench. And I saw a few people compare the bench versus the, you know, the bench when we played West Ham last year. The quality of the squad is, you know, even where we're saying we've got shortcomings, the quality of the squad now versus what we saw against West Ham last year is, you know, is tenfold. I also thought fitness of the Forest players versus the Sheffield United players was what told towards the end where Forest were pushing for the winner and got them over the line. I thought those two things in particular, strength off the bench, really was what won it for Forest. And I thought, yeah, we'll talk about Chris Wood in a minute, but having those players to be able to come on and make an impact and then even bring, you know, some reinforcements on to shore up the game at 2-1 when they have got in front, Forest did have good options.
Yeah, far better options than what they started last season with. I mean, we spoke about it against Arsenal, where obviously Elanga and Awoniyi come on, and that kind of gives you a bit of a lifeline to get back into the game and potentially get something from the game. And then in this one, you know, you're bringing on Elanga again, you're bringing on Chris Wood and Ryan Yates, as you've said, and they're changing the game. Forest didn't have that last year. You know, Forest didn't have that a lot last year at all, whether that be due to injuries later on in the season or the team still gelling or players getting used to things, whatever it might be. Forest want a bit more of it as well. You know, Forest want to get better options on that bench than maybe what they currently have got. But that's the telling thing with the Premier League, because the energy levels are so high and the fitness levels need to be so good. It doesn't matter how fit your starting 11 are, you are going to have to make changes throughout the game and bring on as good a player to then make sure that your levels don't drop as the game goes on. And we spoke about it again last week, you know, especially with this injury time. You know, if you can have like another 10 minutes to play of injury time, once you get to 90, I mean, you want players that can then potentially change the game, especially if players are tiring. That was the one thing I said, you know, that's why I wouldn't necessarily, there's so many people that obviously are saying play the 4-2-3-1 and play a Langer and Johnson and a Awoniyi and Gibbs White all together. But having those options to come off the bench and then, you know, if you are a Jack Robinson and you've had to deal with...
You really don't like Jack Robinson, Dale. I was just about to bring him up myself. I've seen the comment last week, you've brought him back up again. No one likes Jack Robinson, let's be honest.
Exactly. You know, like if you've had to deal with Brennan all game and, you know, regardless of, you know, a few people have been speaking about his performance, but, you know, you've had to deal with his energy levels all game and then you've got to deal with other players come on and deal with them, or you've had to deal with a 1 year old game and then Chris Wood comes on and he's, you know, obviously ready to go, raring to go 100%. That's not a good thing to see if you're a defender. So
let's talk about Chris Wood. Let's talk about Chris Wood, because I think you said in the pre-season pod when we were talking about the squad, and I'm paraphrasing, so stop me if I'm wrong, but in terms of Chris Wood, you thought he would have an important role to play this season in terms of being able to offer a different dimension, whether that be off the bench or even...
He's already gained Forest 3 points in the second game.
Well, that's why I'm giving you the praise, Tom. That's why I'm giving you the praise. But I think he has copped some stick, hasn't he, Chris Wood, since he joined. And I think, you know, we put up a defence case for him a couple of times last season. We certainly did that in the pre-season pod. But I think you can see the impact that he has. It's interesting that Steve Cooper talks about him being part of the leadership group. He's obviously, you know, we you know, the media speculate and fans speculate whether Chris Wood would have a role to play at all or whether he was a player that Forest were looking to ship out before the end of the window. I think it's clear, isn't it, that he's very much part of this squad. He's part of the Steve Cooper leadership group. He's been there, done it. You know, he's scored goals in the Premier League and you've seen his impact already off the bench. I was desperate for him to score the winner, I must admit, when he came on Friday. And he did it with... I think it's a really, really, really good header, that. I mean, it's an unbelievable header. If you watch there's so many different angles of that goal, but it is such a brilliant header. And don't get me wrong, superb cross again from Serge Aurier, two wonderful crosses. But the fact that he's able to guide that into the bottom corner from a decent distance out, I think that's what Chris Wood can offer. And he looked good. I think he looked good on Friday when he came on. And that goal will do him the world of confidence, Tom, wasn't it? Sorry.
100%. You know, obviously he got injured not long after he scored that important Man City goal where he gained Forest the point. And that would have been really annoying for him, because I'm sure he would have been hearing the criticism or, you know, the judgment of his signing. I think he certainly alluded to it a couple of times when he spoke about, you know,
did his reaction on Friday night suggest something similar as well, in terms of he's frustrated and, you know, a little bit like, oh, thank God I'm off the mark? Because I got that certainly from his celebration.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I don't blame him at all. I mean, I completely agree. That header is a fantastic header. No one can take that away from him. The ball from Aurier is a fantastic ball. There's a lot to do from that position because he, you know, he's getting that ball and he's having to direct that right into the opposite corner. That header has to be spot on. And it was absolutely spot on. And at that moment in the match, I mean, you know, like I said, he's gained Forest 3 points off the bench. He knows what his position is in this team. Like I said, I think he's alluded to it a couple of times. He knows he's not necessarily a starter. And he probably knows that fans have seen signings at this club at the same time whilst he's been coming in, like a Danilo, like a Gibbs-White, that maybe have this flair and this excitement. But players like that will play an important part this season. You know, Forest obviously are wanting to improve, but you have to have players like Chris Wood to kind of help you get there as well. And it doesn't surprise me. I think, you know, being part of the leadership team, he seems like he's a good personality to have around the squad as well. He seems like a good leader in terms of, you know, he's probably role model aspects, different to maybe the other member of the Newcastle squad that came with him. So, fantastic goal. I suspect that, you know, I'm not now expecting the tap to be turned on for Chris Wood and he'll start to go on, like he'll score 10 goals in the next 5 games or something like that. But what I do suspect is that won't be the last time you see a situation like that from him this season.
Well, I was just going to say there, in terms of the moments that he's had, you know, a lot of people talk about the fee. The fee's the fee. You know, Forest needed a striker in January, very few on the market. Chris Wood, they thought Chris Wood could come in and do a job. But in that time that he's been at the club, he's already offered 2 huge moments, the goal against City and the winner against Sheffield United. Because I think that winner there against Sheffield United, I think in the context of getting up and running, the context that we talked about in terms of the away games, I think this is a huge, I genuinely think this is a huge 3 points. I think it also sends a good message out in terms of the transfer window, in terms of people looking at Forest, in terms of being a proposition, the club that they might want to come to. I think all the context around that game and that goal, I think, was huge. So I think that could turn out to be a really, really important goal in the context of the overall season as well. But I agree, he's not going to score you 20 goals, is he? 15 goals maybe this season, Chris Wood. But he's going to chip in with those valuable moments off the bench. And in away games, I think he'll play a huge role in away games. And there were times last year where we needed the ball to stick and we had no one to kind of shove it up to, if you like. So that's where he'll come into his own. But, I mean, in terms of the man of the match performance, it has to be Serge Aurier, doesn't it? In terms of his two assists, he was brilliant. He got a bit of stick for his performance away at Arsenal the week before, but overall I thought he was superb, which is probably really good timing for Serge Aurier.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a great performance. I mean, 2 assists, fantastic balls in, obviously something they've been working on all week, and he did the role that was given to him. I mean, I personally still think he's probably, and you know, you've given me praise there for sticking up for Chris Wood. You know, I'll criticise myself in that when Serge Aurier first came in, I said that it would be an awful, awful sign, and I didn't quite understand what Forest were doing. He was fantastic last season. I think it's quite easy to forget that with him. I think he's quite, you know, again, everyone's talking about those flair players, and you know, rightly so, because, you know, they're good in their own right and are some of Forest's best players. But I mean, it's quite easy to put the thought of Serge Aurier to the back of your head in terms of the performances that he gave, and probably just levelling out that defence a little bit at times last season alongside Felipe, in doing so obviously from January. But I thought it was a fantastic performance for him. It's probably done him no harm in one way or another in terms of wherever he's at for the remainder of the season. But certainly for me, he doesn't look like someone who is certainly banging the door down to leave Forest, regardless of what the talks are. But we'll see what happens, won't we?
Well, we will. We've just had a here we go, haven't we? So we'll come on to that in a minute. But let's just wrap it up in terms of the Sheffield United to game then. I mean, look, plenty of positives to build. I think that's what we said after the Arsenal game. But I maintain that. I still think, you know, over the course of the 290 minutes, definitely things that Forest needs to work on. Definitely the areas that have highlighted where Forest needs to strengthen, as you mentioned. But I think overall, as a Forest fan, we've known that there's work to do. I think it's been really positive, and I think, you know, I think the context of what happened around the Premier League this weekend is also important. You do get some strange results at this time of season, but if you look at what happened to Wolves this weekend and Everton this weekend, I mean, let's look at Fulham as well this weekend, albeit against a good Brentford side. There are some teams there who have taken an absolute pasting, who will be in and around. I'm not suggesting Fulham will, by the way. I can't remember what you said from a Fulham perspective, but you know, your Everton's and your Wolves. I think this is why it was such a big 3 points for Forest, just to get them up and running. So I mean, overall, Tom, really good, really positive, good to get off the mark, isn't it, so early on in the season?
Yeah, I think important just to not capitulate early on. I think that was the concern when people saw the fixture list. Yes, you've got the two newly promoted teams early on, but they're not always easy early doors. No. You know, if anything, they've got a bit of momentum with them. You know, they've got a bit of confidence. The fans are on your back, so they can be banana skins. So alongside playing those top teams away from home that Forest have, The fixtures they've got when they've got them don't necessarily play into their hands. So I think it's a game, it's probably a result of slight relief to some people, but I also think it's a result of, right, you know, now kick on. As I said before, you've got that important 3 points. It's a 3 points that you would hope for, and there's obviously been an interview with Marinakis over the last couple of weeks where he said, oh, we maybe dropped points sometimes against teams that we shouldn't have last year, albeit we played well against some of the top teams. If we can improve against those teams that you'd expect to get results against or hope to get results against, then that puts you in good stead. So that's a good start. And now they've just got to kind of take that on to the next games as well.
Well, seamless. We talk about the next game. A trip to Manchester to face Dean Henderson's Man United. Let's hope we're probably all hoping for a better scoreline than what we achieved last year. I think, what did we lose, 10-0 on aggregate over four games? Sick to death of playing Man United, to be fair, last year. United have had a bit of a mixed start to the season, haven't they? They won their first home game 1-0 at home to Wolves. Wolves, the aforementioned, got absolutely tonked at the weekend by Brighton.
I think mixed is being nice. I think if this was Roy Keane on the podcast, he'd have...
I'm trying to be nice. I've got a few Man United... We've all got Man United friends. We live in the South. Fucking more Man United friends than anything. But they lost 2-0 to Spurs away at the weekend. I mean, you've kind of given my question away, really. But how do you assess United's start to the season? I think lacklustre in their performance against Wolves. I must admit, I didn't watch too much of the Spurs game at the weekend. But they've got problems, haven't they?
Well, yeah, they've had problems for quite a few years now.
Where do we start?
I mean, yeah. I mean,
their problems versus our problems over the years might, you know...
Yeah, I also do think, you know, their problems get often quite overdone because the Sky Sports panel is quite Man United top heavy. But, you know, it's your job. It's your
Carragher job. likes to stick the boot in every now and again as well, doesn't he?
Yeah. So.
But Man City are winning everything as well, does it really?
It does, and Liverpool have been all right over the last few. I know that's not something that our fans would like to speak about, but, you know, their closest rivals are doing well. I mean, their problems come from the fact that I kind of look at their squad. Apart from Marcus Rashford, I just think they need a little bit more to him. I mean, the one player that performed spectacularly well, two of them actually, probably, to be fair, last season against Forest was Marcus Rashford, who pretty much just ran at our defence and kind of ended it. kind of ended it early doors, if I'm honest. So that is probably a little bit of a concern for me because he still plays for them. I don't know if you know that, but
he's in my fantasy league team.
And Casemiro actually probably performed quite well for them, but I actually think Casemiro is a huge liability myself in terms of people might think I'm being harsh there. I just think, you know, he's always liable to a card or two since he's come to the Premier League, and I don't get the hype. I'm not sure where Mason Mount fits into the team. all these players are bound to score a hat trick against Forest come Saturday now. But you know, I think from from a lot of the talk so far in terms of the first two games, is obviously they kind of feel like they've got a soft centre a little bit, which is quite funny because I actually feel that's the area of the pitch that Forest need to improve on a little bit. Not that I don't rate the individuals
nil,
that they've got, but they just need to be structurally better, maybe a little bit, and get the right personnel in there to kind of play together at times in certain games. So it'll be a really interesting battle in terms of that middle of the park battle. And obviously they've kind of got Casemiro as their holding midfielder, but they have like Mason Mount and Bruno playing ahead. So it'll be an interesting one. I mean, going to Old Trafford's never going to be easy. The two games that they've had so far, they obviously won in the first one, but Wolves, I had so many people at work after that game. I said, I still think Wolves are going to be in trouble. They went, did you see them? Did you see them at the weekend? I went, Man United were rubbish. Shut up.
and you were right.
Then Wolves got absolutely tonked the following weekend, and Man U lost to Spurs, a Spurs team who I think look so much better, but will be nowhere near that top four for me come the end of the season, because I just think that they've got a way to go in terms of this new kind of new period of their team. So I just think Man United, it hopefully is the perfect time to play them. You know, hopefully that is the case. But they've got it'll go one or two ways. Their poor run will continue, or they'll be trying to prove a lot of people wrong, and playing Forest at home might be a good time for them. They'll see. So yeah,
it's definitely not clicked in the middle of the park. I mean, you're looking at it on paper, Casemiro, Mount and Fernandez, you'd go, they are, that's a quality three, that, but it's not gelled. As I say, we're only two games in. Mount obviously joined them in the summer. I just think Casemiro's legs potentially, he was a bit of a slow starter last year as well, by all accounts, for United, but that three hasn't gelled. I think Gibbs White had Casemiro on toast, I think it was the first leg of the League Cup semi. He was brilliant, and Casemiro was really struggling to deal with Gibbs White. I think if they could do a number, get Gibbs White dropping a bit deeper, and get Yates, Mangala, Danilo in around those three in there, then I think Forest are just going to cause, they're just going to hassle them and hurry them and just make it uncomfortable for them. I think Forest, it's going to be a midfield battle. I think you're going to try and win that. Rashford can hurt you. We've seen that. I don't think, given where we are now in terms of the signings, I think given what Steve Cooper's done previously, he hasn't tended to swap too many players if they were to sign the Tuesday, Wednesday before a game. So I wouldn't be expecting any major shift certainly in the centre of defence or the centre of midfield. Perhaps Nia Carte in for McKenna if he's had another week's training. We speculated that this time last week. Maybe that would be the case. But you would think, therefore, the best, Forest are going to have to look after Rashford a lot better than they did last season. And they're just going to have to get in around that midfield and just make it uncomfortable. Similar, I suppose, to the Arsenal game that they started. If you can see that being the template we talked about last week, didn't we? Arsenal, United, Chelsea, City. That's going to be the template to kind of sit in, frustrate, and look to hit United on the counter. There's decisions to be made, therefore, at the top end of the pitch. If we just talk about, I've just named four midfielders there. That means you're likely to leave either Brennan or Tyro out of the side up top. Is that an easy choice for you, given what we've seen so far over the opening two?
Yeah, I think Tyro would certainly be playing up there for me. I mean, the thing I find interesting with Man United, I know it was the first game of the season, they can often be weird ones, but I felt like when I was watching the game, I felt like Man United had a lot of the ball, especially early on in the game, but actually once they kind of fizzled out. And then Wolves kind of started. The Wolves ended up having like half of the possession themselves, and Wolves had 23 shots in comparison to Man United's 15 in the end. So they are at the moment in the first two games anyway, liable to giving opportunities away. I think the way that Steve Cooper will look at it is he will look at both having Taiwo in terms of just his nuisance way of getting around defenders to kind of trouble them. But then if you can have that pace with Brennan, I have this feeling, I don't know why, he will probably continue to put Alanga on the bench for for a little while, maybe until at least until post his first international break. And I also don't think you'll probably want to throw him in back at Old Trafford as his kind of first Premier League start for Forest, just to add unnecessary pressure to him. So I think it's an easy decision in terms of, at the moment, the options that they've got. I know Wood scored a fantastic header. I just don't think you can drop a Wanyi. And I think that therefore makes probably most of the team fairly easy. I don't think he's going to swap too much of it, but it might just be the approach to the game. Like you say, as you've hinted there, probably the way that they approach Sheffield United in comparison to Arsenal will be slightly different again at Manchester United. So
it's a hard way to do it, though, isn't it? But we talked before the Arsenal game. Forest have got this away template now. They know that they've rolled it out a few times. We go back to that Liverpool game where it kind of really started and really clicked for them. They performed really well at Arsenal once they kind of settled into the game. And you could see them going to United and causing United some problems. Not saying they're going to go there and pepper the goal, but I'll have a couple of long shots at that keeper, I tell you that. Go on then, give us a score prediction.
I'm going to go 1-1.
Oh, you've done me. I'm going to go 1-1 as well. Yeah, I really fancy Forest to get something from this. I really do, which has really annoyed me, because we were talking before we came on air, weren't we? We've actually got tickets to the game on Saturday, but the train strike, so it might put paid to our attendance in Manchester, which has really annoyed me. But that's really annoyed me even more, because I fancy Forest to get something. I think that would do their confidence away from home. Obviously, the world are good if they can get some at Old Trafford. I think it's a good time.
I know it's early doors, and literally we've won one game, and even then, people might have, like we kind of hinted, might have wanted to see it more convincingly. We did lose against Arsenal. I just always have said, kind of felt like, if there's a time to play some of these teams, early doors isn't the worst time. And I do feel like they'll get something from one of Manchester United or Chelsea, albeit I actually do quite like the look of this Chelsea team, albeit they lost against West Ham. I thought they actually looked very threatening for a lot of that game. So, look, I'm hoping we get something here at Old Trafford if we can get a surprise.
Let's do it. Right, we talk about the transfer window. We've just had a here we go, haven't we? So, this is good. Gonzalo Montiel has signed, right back, Argentinian international, World Cup winner, winning penalty scorer in the penalty shootout in the World Cup final. This one came from absolute nowhere at the back stick. Rumour broke, Sunday lunchtime? And here we are Monday evening, pretty much looks like a confirmed deal. Fabrizio has confirmed it. That's good enough for me. And there's a picture of him wearing a Forest shirt, to be fair, as well. So that pretty much confirms it, given Fabrizio is best mates with Marinakis Jr. Interesting one, this one, given he's a, I think we are crying out for a left back. Lots of rumours in the week, last week, that we were looking at Nuno Tavares from Arsenal. That one looks to have died off now. I can't say I'm too concerned about that one, to be honest. He really filled me with much hope. But in terms of the Ryan side, another right back coming in, fourth right back that Forest have at the moment on the books. But that being said, it appears on paper to be one hell of an upgrade. Lots has been said about him over the last 24 hours since Forest were linked. Lots of fairly respectable journalists who I respect the opinions of have come out and said this is quite a coup for Forest. It'll be interesting to see what this means for the rest of the squad and the other right backs within the squad, most notably Serge Aurier, who even now is being linked quite heavily with a move to Saudi Arabia. It will be interesting, but in terms of just Gonzalo Montiel on paper, what's your thoughts, Tom?
The heir to Gino Padula and Claudio Jacob's throne.
I used to love Claudio Jacob, to be fair.
Padula was even better. Obviously on paper, it looks like a good signing for Forest. You can't can't turn down the prospect of the profile of the player. So he's a good age. He'll come in off with loads of confidence after scoring that winning penalty for Argentina in the World Cup as well. So he likes a penalty. So maybe we'll just take everyone else off. Brennan, Gibbs White, you're all off. This guy I'll be taking. But yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see how he kind of comes into the fold and how we'll go about that. I certainly wasn't expecting Forrest to sign another right back, but look, I think when you're in the position that Forrest in, if it's right that it's a loan with an obligation to buy for 11 million euros or whatever it is, which probably means it will come out of the next yeah. pot, if you like, for financial fair play, in which case it's probably a good long-term thought about move in terms of, regardless of what happens with the options that you've got currently, at some point you are going to need to upgrade that position. So it's a good, well-thought-of move in that respect. He seems like he's good from an attacking perspective, which says to me that definitely the wing-backs, I mean, I know it sounds obvious considering how we start the two games, but the wing-backs are definitely the way that we'll go probably going forward. And then it'll be interesting to see, as you've kind of hinted at there, in terms of how we set up the team with the other players that we've got. Is Ola Einar a left-back now? I know he's always kind of preferred right-back. Are we seeing him as the left-back option now? Is Nico going to be at left-back? Is Serge Aurier, I know you're saying he's been linked with Saudi Arabia. If he doesn't go, will he kind of play right-sided centre-back? Are we just kind of waiting to see what happens and don't want to take the risk because the Saudi Arabian window opens for 2 weeks longer after our window closes, so you don't want to take that chance? Regardless, I think it's a good move from a long-term perspective because I think Serge has only had another 1 year's extension, right? So you're probably thinking you're going to have to do it anyway at some point.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of what you just said there, but I think if we just take the Serge Aurier, there's interest in a couple of our players from Saudi Arabia, and I think that's been alluded to by John Percy article about a month or so ago in terms of Boly, Koyate, Aurier. I think all of those, and I think Boly might have another year after this year, I'm not quite sure, but Koyate and Aurier, certainly their contracts are up at the end of this year. Forrest will have a look at that, and I think Serge Aurier himself might want to say, he's done the right thing in terms of this, signed the contract extension, but that works in his favour. If Forrest can get a fee, it works for all parties. Serge could go to Saudi Arabia and get a good paycheck, let's be honest, and finish his career out there. And Forrest will get a fee for a player that they wouldn't necessarily get a fee for, obviously, in the summer. And they've potentially then upgraded, but not having to pay anything until next summer anyway. So it could be a win-win where you've potentially, and we love Serge Aurier, and I think he has been one of the most outstanding signings that Forrest made last year, and he started this season really well. But if Forrest have, as people have suggested, made an upgrade here with Montiel coming in, that they don't have to pay for till next summer, and they can bring 5 million, I don't know, 5 to 10 million in. Sounds bonkers, but some of the fees being knocked about of Saudi Arabia, it is bonkers. But let's just say Forrest can get 5 million for Serge Aurier. That's a good financial fair play little loophole that Forrest have found there. And all of a sudden, they are quite creative when it comes to the transfer. You only have to look at the fee that they got for Sam Surridge as well, who's also out of contract next summer. So Forrest are, whilst obviously they bought in a lot of players last year, in terms of when they're negotiating outgoings, they've got a proven track record, if you like, in terms of being able to bring fees in. So I think it'd be interesting. But I think this guy, he's definitely, he looks to be a class act. And I think if an opportunity arises where you can upgrade, even if you've got a number of players in that one position, then great. I think having that flexibility, if you've got this guy, as you said, Aurier, Aina, Williams, Richards on the other side if he gets fit, and there probably still will be a left wing-back brought in as well. That feels like it's good competition in those wing-back areas. If Forrest seem well set, even if the departure of Serge Aurier happens, which I can see personally.
Yeah, and I think the wing-backs are so, so important for the way that Steve Cooper likes to play. I think people go, well, we didn't use them last year. And, you're not wrong in the main, but they did revert back to it. And that's the way he does want to go. I mean, that's the way that we set up when we got promoted. It's the way that we liked seeing ourselves play. I think, again, maybe because we didn't play it sometimes last year. People go, oh, you know, is it a little bit defensive playing with that many defenders? But your wing backs don't really end up doing too much of the defending. They end up doing a lot of the attacking. I mean, the two assists came from Serge Aurier against Sheffield United. So hopefully this guy can cross as good as Serge Aurier did against
blowing endorsement. This guy, come on in.
But no, I mean, it's on paper, you know, it looks like a really good signing for Forest. So again, for me, it's more about the long-term prospect of it and where Forest, you know, it's a position that we don't need to worry about, hopefully, as long as he performs as well as we hope he does. It's a position we don't have to worry about next year when we inevitably might have. So, yeah.
I'm going to throw several names at you.
All right.
Nicolas Dominguez, Luis Felipe, Rodriguez, Fofana, Florentino. There are so many names out there flying around at the moment. And actually, there's another one that I just forgot about, which we were leaving.
Kylian Mbappe, I've heard he's good.
Morato, Benfica, oh, yeah. Brings me out in hives thinking about dealing with Benfica again. But clearly a change in strategy, right? In terms of everyone's talking about the sporting director from Olympiacos, who was supposedly got an advisory role at Forest, now being at the fore in terms of recommending these South American players coming in. But there definitely seems to be a change in shift. Whether that's already always been there, we talked about Forest perhaps needing to be patient as the window develops, and obviously the Saudi Arabia influence, etc. Maybe this has always been the game plan. Maybe we're just now seeing it being executed as we've got a week left. But there's definitely a clear tactic, similarly to the way that Forest went after Brazilians in the last couple of transfer windows with the likes of Danilo, etc.
Yeah, I think obviously there's an advisor between Olympiacos and Forest that has particular roots within certain countries. I think Spain, South America, Portugal being it. And obviously Sirianos has come back into the fold. I think it's been headlined recently, but it sounds like he might have actually been advising again, hovering around for a little bit longer than that. I think, to be honest with you, a lot of it has been happening for a while. It's just that the window is rubbish this year in terms of, I think we're going to see so much activity towards the end of the window. And a lot of the links will have been agent links before that. And Forest are an easy target because of the amount of players that they signed both last year, but also players, agents will know that Forest need to sign certain positions this year. I mean, there was one day where Forest were linked to like 10 goalkeepers. I'd like to think that they knew who their first choice was and second choice, third choice, rather than the many names.
I was going to bring you back to the goalkeepers. I think we're running out of time. I think you know what I was going to. We will talk about it for 30 seconds in a minute. But
I mean, some of the names that have come out sound like really interesting prospects. I think, to be honest with you, I think there's just going to be a lot that happens really last minute across towards this. I know, I mean, we're kind of heading into the last week now, but...
Next time we record this pod, we'll be well and truly in the thick of it. But yeah,
I wouldn't be shocked to see... Right? Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked to see Forest sign... Well, do you know what? When you think about the amount of players Forest have actually already signed, if we include Montiel, I can remember at the start, we said that maybe we only need like 5 or 6... And I can see Forest going. I can see Forest getting 10.
Oh, easy. I was going to say, because if you think about it, I think Forest want 2 centre halves.
Not 10 the next week, you know. 10 altogether.
On top of the right.
Yeah, I mean, look, another centre. You know, Harwood Bellis has been linked, and Callum Hudson-Odoi's name's come up. And
well,
again,
we've got some breaking. Callum Hudson-Odoi news. Fulham have pulled out of the race for Callum Hudson-Odoi.
Everyone's failing their medicals these days as well, so let's not rule that one out.
We were trendsetters with that one. But I can see Forest bringing in 2 centre halves now, a left wing back. I still think they want 2 centre midfielders now, which makes sense again if you think about the Coyote.
Yeah, if you're going to get like a deep line playmaker, then I still think you need another what I would call a number 6, but other people might call a number 4 or whatever you want to call it back in the day. If you're moving your numbers about, I don't know, but playing Sabutio all over the shop. But, you know, you want kind of that out and out ball
ball-winning midfielder, I think, is what I'm desperate for Forest to get. But if you've got a deep-lying playmaker as well, that wouldn't be too shabby in my eyes. But
My eggs are in the Fofana basket at the moment, but we will see. We will see. 30 seconds. I want no more than 30 seconds on the Dean Henderson saga. Now it looks like he could be going to Crystal Palace. Hugely disappointed in that one. Or do you understand where Forest are coming from? I think Forest has stood strong on this one. I can understand the disappointment from fans, but I think Forrest have played this right all along in reality. And I'm still not convinced he ends up at Palace, by the way. I've still got a sneaking suspicion he might end up back at Forrest. But I just think this one, I think Forrest have played Man United well here.
Yeah, I mean, sodom. No, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, from what I've seen of Turner, I really liked what he's had to show so far. I do feel like having another goalkeeper wouldn't be a bad thing for Forest to have, albeit they've also got Hennessy and Horvath still on the books. But yeah, I mean, let's see what happens. If he ended up at Palace, I won't be crying myself to sleep at night. But if he signed for Forest, I'd say he's a welcome addition in terms of what he brings, both from a personality perspective, he knows the club already, and good competition in that area. So the only, you know, I know you said 30 seconds, I'm going well into a minute here. The only question mark is I know people might go a bit harsh because they only technically had one injury that we know about, but, you know, maybe a few setbacks here and there. You know, where is he at with that injury? I know he's been on Man United's bench. You know, is he 100%? What's the situation there? Is that where the question marks come with Forrest? We'll see.
Yep. No, I agree with everything you just said there. I agree with everything you've just said. Right, let's finish up with our new feature, Guess Who. Last week, thank you to everyone who got in touch, obviously interacted with us on socials. It was, of course, Jack Lester, only one decent Lester. Unfortunately, in the Sheffield United dugout on Friday night, but never mind, you can't hold that against him. This week's tedious link between Forest and Man United. So, this player joined Forest in the summer of 2011 from Fulham. He made 49 appearances for Forest over a three-year period. He won the Champions League with United in 1999, being on the bench for the final. He also had notable spells with Middlesbrough and West Brom. He's currently the manager at non-league Scarborough Athletic. Who is that? Emailing
Will Hoskins
again. I'm not sure he's manager of Scarborough at the minute, but yeah, he might be close. Interact with us as always. Email in, send us your answers on Twitter or Insta. Let's see how many of you get that. A relatively easy one, that I reckon. Some you've probably got off the bat. I didn't share that one with you pre-episode.
I do know it is already. Let's just say when you say I've got it straight away, it isn't actually Will Hoskins, but. No. But yeah, I have got it straight away. Yeah,
there's a few good ones to be fair from a Forest Man United perspective. I went down the right rabbit hole.
Didn't go for this one. I thought you might go. I was, if you'd asked me who to go for, I was thinking Lee Martin. Do you remember him? He was on loan from Watford. No, on loan from Man United. That's where the link comes.
He ended up at Watford. He scored
his first Forest goal against Watford in our first season back in
the Championship. That's why you're getting confused. The one I was going to go with was Michael Stewart. For those of you that remember the fair redhead midfielder that we chased also, who was absolutely shy, to be fair. So I didn't go with him in the end. Anyway, let's wrap it up. We're starting to ramble on. As always, look, it'd be great if you could follow us on Spotify or Apple. Please leave a review. It really does help. Numbers last week, again, grew week on week, which is fantastic. It just helps other people find us. So that'd be really appreciated. As I said, you can email us at timeaddedonpod@outlook.com if you want to get in touch, any comments, thoughts. Please email them through. As I say, follow us on Twitter at timeaddedonpod. Tom, any last thoughts before we go? I'll throw you on the spot here.
Oh, bloody hell. Let's sign some bloody players and let's get those 3 points at Old Trafford. Sod the Dean Henderson prison in sods.
Right. Yeah. Well, my phone's going for a good lie down. I've worn the battery out 3 times refreshing Twitter. We'll be back next week to review what will hopefully be a positive result. Let's see if we get there first, Tom, to Old Trafford. And we will obviously dissect the remaining 2 or 3 days of the transfer window. I'm sure there's going to be a hell of a lot to talk through. So until then, enjoy yourselves. Everyone going to Old Trafford at the weekend, enjoy it. You Reds.